One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at Kosai.org.
Cleveland is where the urban meets the outdoors, where cultural celebrations meet rabid sports fans meet the symphony, where nobody goes hungry and everybody loves music. Fueled by passion, we are the land for life. From rich history to hidden gems, the Legends of the Land podcast shares the real stories from real Clevelanders that shaped the city. From iconic chefs to grassroots changemakers, sports heroes to creative visionaries, learn why living all out is in Cleveland's DNA. Go to thisiscle.com/podcast.
Welcome to the Consumers. Once again, we are live in Nashville, Tennessee, on location. I am with my regular co-host, Tim Convey.
Hello, Greg.
Hello, Tim. Sean O'Brien.
Gregory, we're not really live. I mean, we're live, but we're always live.
Yeah.
Okay. So, let's just think about what you just said there.
Yeah.
And regroup. How you doing, buddy?
I'm great, buddy. That's one thing that you tend to do quite a bit of is thinking about what you said. Also, we have a very, very special guest here. It's our friend, Aaron Weber.
Nice.
Wow. Yeah.
Man, we are
happy to be here. Welcome to Nashville, guys.
Thanks, man. Do you think it's a little on the nose with the shirt?
Wait, what does the shirt say?
Nashville. Okay. I put it on this morning. I was thinking, hey guys.
You look like you lost your suitcase and you bought a bunch of clothes at the airport when
that
you got here.
Not so. This was during the Nate Europe trip. I got back to the airport and I had no clothes and I wasn't going straight home, so I did buy a lot of stuff. I didn't want it to look like that.
It's a good shirt, dude.
I think it's cool.
Yeah, man, it gets the job done.
Yeah. Speaking of attire, you're a graduate of the University of Notre Dame.
I am. Yeah.
Oh. Yeah.
And
you're wearing that.
It's great.
You've earned the right to wear that.
Yeah. Well, I see a Notre Dame hat on this podcast all the time.
Oh yeah. That's right. Tim. One would think that he went to Notre Dame. I guarantee he has more stuff than you do. Talks about it more.
I love that.
Yeah, gets weepy-eyed about it. And all that. Yeah,
and I'm a fan, and I didn't go to school there. I think that's totally fine. As a Notre Dame graduate,
you Catholic?
I am.
Oh, there you go.
And Irish.
That's it. Okay.
And Midwestern. The whole thing.
Are you arrogant?
A little bit.
Okay,
a little bit.
This is perfect.
Yes.
You got
yes.
everything it takes.
Does that bother you, people that are fan or me wearing
no,
this stuff?
Notre Dame no. is a small school, actually. Mm-hmm. It's only about 8,000 undergrads.
Wow.
Compared to most state schools that are north of 20,000.
Yeah.
So we need people like Tim. You know
that's
what I mean?
Right.
We got to fill that stadium.
Keep
we
it
need
going.
People that can't get in.
That knew better to even apply.
Yeah. Stay in your lane and bazoo, man.
God, I would have loved it.
I couldn't get in now. It is one of those things that's like it's gotten even since I graduated, 2014.
Really?
It's been 11 years. The academic standards
really
have gone out of control.
Yeah.
When I was there, average ACT score 32, and that was pretty high. Now it's
32.
It's above
an average?
Above a 35 is the average ACT score.
I didn't know it went that high.
I didn't know it went that high.
It goes to 36.
Really?
Yeah.
I think they changed it. I'm being completely real here. I think they changed it.
I got a 36.
You did not.
On the SAT.
Yeah, that's
SAT. Yeah, you're right. It was an SAT. Yeah, that's not good on the SAT.
Got to get the acronyms right,
Greg. Is that below average?
They say if you put B for every answer, that's a 400.
There you go.
Really?
It's multiple choice. It's four questions, right, out of 1,600.
Mm-hmm.
So just put B for everything. You're a 400. You're good.
If you're in that neighborhood of 400, though, you're not going to understand the law of averages.
Exactly.
I'd like to see you explaining to the guy, like, no, man, there's four.
Yeah.
Is that all nonsense about you got if you put your name on, if you spell it wrong, you lose points?
It has to be.
That's got to be just a big, like, why?
I don't even know what you're talking about.
Oh, really? Like, there was...
Like, they used to say, this... like, if you get your name right, then that's, you know, X amount.
Yeah, like, just... I just out of the gate, but default, you're at, like, 400. Got it. But if you spell
yeah, and there was
wrong,
there was a joke. There was like, yeah, that's probably, he didn't get his name right. Yeah. It was a joke. It's not mine. Somebody. Yeah.
Well, it was in Blue Chips. The movie was Shaq. That's why he, like, bombed on his SAT, because they're like, really? He spelled his name wrong. And that Nick Nolte's like, what do you expect? He had some crazy name.
But he said he spelled it wrong on purpose as a form of protest because it was racial.
That's right.
They were racially biased.
Racially biased. That's right.
Yeah. Exactly. And it was not Shaq.
It wasn't Shaq.
The character, Neon, was the name of the character.
Good job, man.
Dude, is this
you just watched this last night?
I watch it every night.
Walk to Remember, and then Blue Chips every single night.
Oh, yeah. I heard you're a big Mandy Moore fan.
Huge. And you met her, right?
We sat as close as you and I are sitting right now.
That's unbelievable, man. It's a point of frustration on this podcast. And we love everything that Nate's doing, and we're proud of him.
We text now, me and her.
Is that right?
No. Oh, no.
Hey, man, you can believe that. Dusty met
Christian Bale.
So, I mean, if he said that with conviction and stayed with the rest of the show, I'd be like,
but
hey,
even they didn't exchange numbers at the end of that.
That's true. Know? But it was a pretty cool approach, though.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
I don't think I looked Manny Moore in the eyes.
Were you intimidated? Were you nervous? Was it weird?
Well, it was. You know, it was the first thing we recorded. We sat down, hadn't seen Nate in like a month, and then we sat down, and then Mandy Moore's there. So it's like the beginning of the episode, kind of awkwardness and jitters. But
I liked it. I enjoyed it.
Yeah, I thought it was good.
And you're a little bit younger than us. What was Mandy Moore to you? You probably don't even remember her as a pop star.
Entourage. I do remember her as a pop star, but I was younger. It was Entourage was the big thing for me.
Yeah. And have you seen A Walk to Remember?
Well, I know from Entourage that Vinny Chase, you know, had a romantic relationship with her on the set, and then they actually had to shut down production for a few days.
That wasn't Walk to Remember.
Do you know about this?
But that in Entourage it is.
They did? They said that?
Yeah, and he argues that the crew had bad clams, but we all know Mandy Moore broke his heart.
Yeah, I did.
He made her a mixtape.
I didn't know that was Walk to Remember that they were talking about.
He waited outside her apartment with a mixtape. It got real weird. Yeah. And you meet her, and you're like, I get it.
Tim, go ahead. Count down to when you're going to share your story.
All right,
the Mandy
start
Moore
the
story?
Yeah, the Mandy Moore story.
Yeah. Oh, I had a moment with Mandy Moore.
what kind of moment?
Many, many years ago.
Okay.
We were in the lobby of 1515 Broadway, the MTV building.
Wow.
I was a lowly intern.
Yeah.
She was a burgeoning pop star. Yeah. And I don't know. So the people around were like, man, she didn't stop looking at you.
Really?
Yeah, man. Yeah. And you just told her to back off?
No, I didn't. I was intimidated. I mean, I didn't. I had no.
Are you game, about the same age?
No game whatsoever. Yeah.
Okay.
About the same age.
Well, then that,
Yeah.
It's never been
you
more
happy?
Proud of him.
Yeah.
I heard the story a lot.
Yeah. It was it was something else. And I played it. All these people were like, oh, man, she was. And I was like, no. But inside, I was like, she was.
Yeah, of course.
She's
totally. And you had people there that were, that backed you up on it.
Backed me up, yeah.
That's just like Bates backed up Dusty on his Christian Bale story.
You need somebody else there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Otherwise, you're just a guy talking.
Not now, 100%.
Yeah.
I'll get you 100%. In touch with the people, the witnesses from my Mandy Moore thing.
I'd like to, if you wouldn't mind, share those emails with us. Some of the stories about O'Brien and Marky Mark that, you know.
It was
just Sean and Marky Mark.
Yeah, and it was that Good Vibrations album or whatever it was called, man.
Sean, but nobody was there to verify it, so we can't.
Well,
so stupid.
I just saw him a few weeks ago. I was at Fanatics Fest, which is, I know we're going to talk about trading cards later, but it's a big trading card sports memorabilia festival in New York City. And I was about 10 feet from Mark Wahlberg, and then 10 feet the other way was Tom Brady. And they converged, and I was in the middle of the pile. Police were pushing me in. I was like this.
Really?
For about 15 minutes. I was like, get me out of here, dude. I got crammed in.
They tell you they liked your stuff, man?
Dang. Just go with it. Just say they did, but there was no there to witness this time.
Yeah. Tom Brady. A big
liar.
Fan.
Yeah.
I hope
the lies
brand.
Don't come as easy to some people, Sean.
Hey, man, I make convictions.
We talked about this. man, we're thrilled to have you. And you are, so you were, you went to FanFest.
Yeah, so I lucked out. I got a corporate gig where I got to film some content there.
So I
got paid to go there for 2 days.
And unbelievable.
Got to hang out, and I saw everybody, dude. LeBron, saw Wemby walking around. He can't hide. That's the thing about him. He's about a foot and a half taller than the mob around him. So,
wow.
Just to be around all those guys, it was really
Wemby, cool. NBA player?
Yeah, 7'5" from France.
Okay.
Yeah. Now, Wahlberg can walk around. You're just like, what's that mob of people moving around?
Yeah.
Because he's so short.
Yeah.
Yeah. But it was, it was a cool experience.
That's awesome.
Do you guys want to get right to the brand?
Sure. Yeah, let's get to the brand, man. Let's talk Tops.
We got a lot to accomplish here.
Yeah.
The brand is Tops. And a lot of times you'll reach out to these guests and you'll say, hey, is there a brand that you'd like to do? And they'll be like, I don't know, man. I mean, maybe I didn't finish the sentence and Weber texted me Tops.
I've been waiting for this.
Yeah, yeah. This, and it fits, man. He's the perfect guy for this. And we're going to learn a lot from him on this podcast. But let's talk about the history. First, maybe the history of baseball cards.
Right.
The first baseball card that I could find was put out by the Brooklyn Atlantics. They were the dominant team in the New York City Baseball League back in the day. And they issued these basically like team photographs mounted on cardboard. And it said they were souvenirs that they handed out to fans and opposing teams.
Oh, nice.
Thanks a lot, man. Hey, guys, I thought you guys might want to have... We're playing you guys, you know? Like, yeah.
So they weren't even sold. These were just free.
Yeah, they were just little freebies, yeah. Okay. It seems a little sort of condescending where it's like...
Kind of.
Yeah, man.
Yeah, they're just saying like, yeah, man, look at like... Probably may get a point to them. Like, look what you guys maybe aren't doing. Maybe you guys should actually.
Yeah, and they were the dominant team.
Yeah,
so they
we got cards.
Like, knew that they were going to get beat.
Right,
and you get, you know, it's like there was a our friend Matt Behrens was a comic at one point, and now runs a club. But he told me he was an MC one time or a feature act, and the headliner at the end of the week, he was a guy who sold a lot of merch, and he laid all his merch out on the table. He goes, pick one, man.
Great.
Matt goes, what? He goes, anyone you want.
Treat yourself.
Thank you. What an honor.
Yeah, yeah. He goes, just pick one, man. Laid it all out.
And grabbed a Sharpie, ready to sign it for him, whatever it was.
Yeah, pick one, dude. You can have it, man.
The amount of, I don't even know what you call it, but what it took for me to sell a shirt after a show.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It took a long time for me to get to that point mentally.
You're one of the guys that I think would probably feel awkward about it just because you're one of the, you're not a natural born boaster or self-promoter.
Oh, thank you.
And you're a decent guy.
Oh, thank you.
You know, Sean, used car salesman. Like the guy was he was selling shirts after his first punchline
at the open mic.
Hey man, you know you don't get paid on those shows, so you gotta earn an income somehow. It's all about the hustle.
That's what the people
it's like
want.
The baseball guy, it's the inspiration, man. Right. Get my stuff out there.
That's right.
Working angles.
In 1909 there was a T206 set of cards. You're familiar with these?
I have a few of them.
Really?
Yeah. None of the real valuable ones, like the Honus Wagner one, I'm sure you're
That's the very valuable one.
If I had one of those, I would not be doing this podcast.
No,
I'll tell you that.
It's the American Tobacco Company. They issued 524 cards. Honus was on one of the cards, and then he said, hey, I don't want to be part of a tobacco advertisements, so you got to pull the cards. So they pull them, and there's only a few out there.
Talk about ahead of his time.
I know, man. He was against cigarettes back then. Isn't that crazy?
That's wild.
Yeah.
And that's why his is the most valuable. I think people, as a kid, you're like, his is the most valuable. You think, oh, this guy was better than Babe Ruth, but it's because he was great.
Pulled.
He was good.
Yeah, not good. He was great.
But he wasn't Babe Ruth.
Yeah.
For sure. Way before Babe Ruth, but Hall of Famer. But yeah, but that's most of the reason why.
Yeah.
It's like the Billy Ripken card isn't because Billy Ripken was a great player.
Yeah.
It's because
his
his brother was, and they tried to take his because something foul was written on the bottom of the bat.
Yeah.
Oh, really?
Remember this?
When
I was a kid, it was a Fleer card. It wasn't Topps, but Billy Ripken, Cal Ripken Jr.'s brother.
Yeah.
The baseball, you know, standard, he's holding the bat, and on the bottom of the bat, his teammates, whether it was just to mess with him or because they knew he was going to use it in the baseball, wrote something bad at the bottom of the thing, and Fleer put that card out.
Yeah.
And as a kid, it was the coolest thing.
And then they reissued it covered up. Yeah. So, okay. But there are still cards out there before they fixed it.
And is that worth some money?
Not a lot. It's just a cool card to have. It's not worth a ton of money.
Yeah. 1933, Goody Gum, G-O-U-D-E-Y. They basically put out the first modern baseball card, and it was to promote gum. Let's talk about this company, Topps. That's the brand for the week. Morris Shorin started a tobacco company in Brooklyn. His four sons, Abram, Ira, Philip, and Joseph, moved the business to chewing gum. In 1947, Topps introduced Bazooka Gum.
Oh, that was them.
That was them.
That's awesome.
Still is them.
No kidding.
Yeah, and the comic strips that came, very funny stuff.
Bazooka Joe.
That didn't come till 1953.
Sean,
Bazooka Joe,
biggest
man.
Bubblegum chewer that I know.
Yeah, he was Earl Pistol, that Bazooka Joe.
What do you chew? What do you chew, Sean?
Oh, I love Big League Chew. Big League Chew or bubblegum tape, man. I mean, I'll tell you, we might have talked about this before, but yeah, bubble tape, man, it's got strength. So I mean, you'll get 30 minutes.
You picked a brand at age 7 and just stuck with
it. Yeah, I hung in, man. Big Nothing League else. Chew.
He's loyal. He is a loyal guy.
I'll stick with my gum. Yeah.
Okay.
But didn't you like find some special gumballs one point online that you were into?
I liked orange gumballs. I don't know if it was special.
I thought there was a brand of gumballs that you enjoyed.
Did you have a?
I don't think I had a brand. I don't think I could think of. No, it was just the bubblegum tape and the
Why? How did you become such a gum addict?
Just sugar addict. That's just probably an easy way. I'm sure that was part of it.
Okay.
Yeah, you can transition to sugarless gum.
Of course, man. Yeah, I think it was baseball. I played like Little League, and that was just going on. Well, so I made six years old, I was chewing. Yeah.
Both of those were designed to look like tobacco.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Big League Chew, obviously, but Bubble Tape was designed to look like a can of dip in your pocket.
Oh, mm-hmm. Wow.
Same
thing, yeah.
I thought it was a measuring tape.
That used to be the...
that was their out, man.
Maybe. I always thought it was designed to look like a can of dip.
Definitely looks
and
like a
And that was
can
like
dip.
The running joke when kids started having dip. You go, nah, dude, it's Bubble Tape. But it was Copenhagen.
Yeah.
Tobacco and baseball are like, it's the same story. It's like they're just such a part of each other.
Yeah.
Like you watch clips even from like the 80s.
Oh, yeah.
Where
the
manager's just ripping cigarettes in the dugout during the game.
The guy that managed the Pirates and then the
Jim
Marlins.
Leland.
Jim Leland was a big smoker, right?
God. Yeah, yeah.
You could hear it in his voice, too.
Oh, yeah. He had it, man. Dykstra, Lenny Dykstra, man. Yeah, he would have the
huge wad. Tobacco.
Yeah. Even in my childhood growing up, players would be openly dipping in the dugout. And now, I think when did they ban that? Early 2000s, maybe? And now they're all just sunflower seeds.
Is it? Yeah.
I think so. I'm guessing they're probably zinning and stuff, too, but doing it discreetly.
Yeah. Sean zins, don't you?
I have occasionally, yeah. Well, nicotine helps me. It honestly
a nootropic, dude.
It is a nootropic.
What's a nootropic?
That's right.
I don't know, but it sounds good.
It just puts you on the spot.
Like wakes up your brain. I don't know. That's what people are like. They'll have like in the old days, coffee and a cigarette, and you're like just wound up.
Wait, what's Zyn? I don't even know what that is.
Yeah, you've seen it. Every gas
nicotine
station.
Nicotine pouches.
Just nicotine pouches.
Oh, okay. No tobacco, just
no
nicotine.
Tobacco. Yeah.
Got it.
Huh. Yeah, but for me, it would help me just not eat because I would just be like, oh, go have food. And I'd be like, no, I'll take a Zyn. But then I don't want to get all wound up on nicotine.
But then you get good enough at it, you could eat with one in.
Oh, that's a pro move, I'm not at that level, Aaron. We could try. Yeah.
It doesn't stop you at all.
Zyn on one side, the gum on the other. Cheeseburgers.
I spent a lot of time on the bench in high school baseball. I got real good at sunflower seeds.
Did you?
Oh, it was unbelievable. Huge handful on one side. You transfer a few over to the right, get them out. I could hit a bucket from 20 yards away.
Really?
Oh, it was unbelievable.
Now, what was your brand?
David's.
David's makes a nice
David's
one.
Original. I think they got a lot of I'll get into them on road trips every now and then. Barbecue. Dill pickle.
Dill pickle's a good flavor.
And then they got they even have like some cinnamon churro. They went sweet in a lot of them. Mm. I give them all a chance.
Do you ever mess with Fisher?
What's Fisher?
Oh, it's a brand of nuts.
No.
I sold them. Okay.
Yeah, they didn't do too well.
It was a P&G brand?
P&G for a very brief time.
Do you ever try to get into sunflower seed? Do you ever try to corner that market?
We had sunflower. Fisher had
Did
sunflower
really?
Seeds. Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, they had sunflower. That's what I was asking. We had sunflower seeds.
Yeah, they were like the red container.
Yes, they were
thing.
Red. Yeah, yeah. Still right. around. We, right. I mean, we had that brand for just like, yeah, couldn't do a lot. There was a brand called Fisher Favorites. It was a candied nut product. Yeah. Okay. One of the best things I've ever eaten.
Wow.
Yeah, very, very good. Fisher Favorites was outstanding.
Okay.
Yeah, real good. Got ate quite a bit of those.
But that's the, I think for the next, when was that they started the gum company? Was the 1930s?
Morris and those guys, I don't know exactly. Well, Bazooka Beauty. Came in 1947.
Yeah, so then for the next 50 years, there's gum in the pack.
Yeah, yeah.
With and that's, even now, that's kind of the tradition is you open up an old pack, you gotta put the gum in your mouth for a little bit.
Which is usually the worst gum.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, you chip your
chalky,
tooth.
It's hard. Yeah.
It's horrific.
Yeah. Terrible.
I loved it, though, because as a kid, you associated with, I just got a new pack of baseball. Yeah. You were tearing through to see if you got Jack Clark, and you were, I mean, it was the best feeling in the world.
Yeah.
Dude, he lives around the corner from you, man.
Does he?
Yeah.
Who's that, Jack Clark?
Jack Clark, yeah. He dates, or I think he's married to my friend Angie from high school.
Call her up.
You're just bringing this up now?
Yeah.
Call Jack.
Yeah, call Jack, man. Neighbor.
I'll see if I can. Yeah.
Former Cardinal, right?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, man.
Are you kidding me? As well as.
He was their big power hitter, man, back in the mid 80s and cranked out about 21 home runs in a year. And he was their big power threat.
He was great.
Hit a memorable home run against the Dodgers in the playoffs, I believe.
He had that card where I don't know if he was getting picked off or something at second, but it was such an action shot where he's like this, his helmet's falling off. He's got the eye black. The coolest.
Yeah.
One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at kosai.org.
Cleveland is where the urban meets the outdoors, where cultural celebrations meet rabid sports fans meet the symphony, where nobody goes hungry and everybody loves music. Fueled by passion, we are the land for life. From rich history to hidden gems, the Legends of the Land podcast shares the real stories from real Clevelanders that shape the city. From iconic chefs to grassroots changemakers, sports heroes to creative visionaries, learn why living all out is in Cleveland's DNA. Go to thisisCLE.com/podcast.
Then in 1949, some company issued a 252, maybe it was Topps, issued 252 magic photo cards. Now, these had a couple of sports figures in them. Cy Young, Rogers, Hornsby, Babe Ruth. But they had a lot of other people, you know, actors and, you know, other athletes there. Those were pretty small. 1950s, they brought out Hopalong Cassidy cards. And then 1951, we get into baseball cards. Okay. That's when they first did it. 1951, they had these blue back and red back cards.
Okay.
There was a game that you could basically play.
Whoa.
Like that, you with baseball cards.
Yeah.
Blue against red or something. 1952, I'm going to guess Aaron knows about this. This is when they sort of issued the standard baseball card, 2.5 by 3.5 inches.
Right,
they put stats on the back.
Yeah.
This is the ancestor of the baseball card as we know it today. The 1952 top set. What's the big card out of that set?
1952,
Mickey Mantle.
That's right.
That card sold in 2022 for $12.6 million.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
Isn't that nuts? This guy, Berger, I think it was Cy Berger, his last name Berger, he was the guy that sort of designed those cards.
Uh-huh.
And it says Berger hired a garbage boat to remove leftover boxes of the 1952 baseball cards stored in the warehouse and put them on a tugboat off into the Jersey Shore and dumped them into the Atlantic Ocean.
Oh, man.
Just dumped them into the ocean.
No wonder.
There was a lot of Mickey Mantle cards in the ocean, and one sold for $12.6 million.
Wow.
I think that is the most expensive piece of sports memorabilia in existence. There's a Diego Maradona jersey that sold for $9.3 million.
Mm-hmm. You know what that reminds me of? You ever heard the story about one of the first guys to use Bitcoin? He paid a pizza delivery guy.
Amazing.
He paid like, I don't know, 10,000 Bitcoin or something at the time.
Really?
That would be, I mean, that was like, I don't know, hundreds of billions now.
Really?
Yeah. Oh, but yeah. Back then it was like $20 worth.
And so he gave, but somebody has, a pizza delivery guy has it or?
I guess so. Yeah.
I've heard the exact story. Yeah, that a guy, you know, when it costs like a nickel per Bitcoin, and just I don't know how he gave it to him exactly. You don't. Yeah. It's not like
I still
item,
understand.
But.
He was talking about NFTs yesterday.
Yeah.
On the Nate Land podcast, and I don't
fundable token. What is it?
Fungible?
Fungible.
There's we could do 6 hours, and I'm gonna be like, yeah, man, don't get it. Yeah. So Topps sort of ran the business. They, from 1952 to 1980s, when Fleer and Donruss came in.
Right.
What took them so long, I wonder, for competition?
I don't know. Did they have some kind of, was there a patent or something
in
play?
I think there might have been some agreements with the, I think there Major was leagues. Agreements with the, they sued, and I think there was agreement with the players.
There's also stuff, and you'll see it, it's happened, a lot of it is happening now, with licenses from the sports themselves. Mm-hmm. So even like now, like a Panini card or Donruss or any of these other brands, they I think they're the same actually, but it's like Topps is the only company that can have the Major League Baseball team on the card. So I'm sure they ran into a lot of that back then. It's like Topps had an exclusivity deal.
Really?
With the MLB, maybe.
Yeah, do you know how this works? Because I was looking like basically Topps has to have an agreement with MLB.
Yeah.
With the Major League Baseball
Players Association.
And with the player. Like they have to also.
Oh, they have to opt in to have their card.
Yeah, the player. Yeah. And they all opt in, I think. And sure. Yeah. And I don't, it's not like a ton of money that I think the player gets.
Uh-huh.
But I guess the Players Association, I don't know if they share it or maybe that's how they just fund the union and that's how retirement comes is a lot of that makes card sense. Money, stuff like that. There was a. Are you familiar with Bowman?
Sure.
Oh, yeah. Canadian, Bowman, right?
Bowman was their competitor and they bought him in 1956 and then they reissued, I think, some stuff under that brand name.
Yeah, so I didn't know that they were ever separate. I just thought of it as like a segment of Topps. But Bowman has the prospect cards. Those are Bowman's. So you buy the Bowman set. Yeah, like they're called First Bowman's. That's like a pre-rookie card. It's like their first ever prospect card. And then there's the rookie card comes later when they make their pro debut.
Oh, really?
So you can collect a lot of like First Bowman cards.
So you can get their card before they even play a first game then.
Yeah, 100%.
Yeah.
And those cards are so valuable. It's like you can get these Hall of Fame player cards are like a third of the price of like some prospect you've never heard of.
Really?
Because people are just, they want the hot
stuff.
It's
always about first, right? It's Yeah.
And then very few of them pan out. Hmm. I put a lot of money.
Sounds like comedians.
It is comedians. Yes. Well, I put a lot of money into Wander Franco cards.
Yeah.
And then that, I don't know if you saw how that panned out.
Did he get in trouble? Or?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, he got in some trouble.
Think
about
the worst thing you can do as a human being.
Yeah. Mm. And so I was telling these guys, a buddy of mine, you probably know him. He runs all the improvs and comedy clubs out in Phoenix.
Uh-huh.
And
Matt.
Yeah. Matty Komen, who's a St. Louis guy and a Cardinal fan. But he was telling me, you know, his kids are getting into card collecting. Mm-hmm. And he was like, it's awesome. I'm having a ball with it. They're young. And he goes, but they're doing also like Pokemon cards.
Okay.
Yeah, and he's like, it's great. Because none of the Pokemon characters are showing up in the paper for doing it. He's like, I don't have to explain any of the behavior.
You know what? That is
Pokemon.
True.
Matty Komen, guys.
Squirtle's not a bad role model.
Yeah, Squirtle didn't. He's like, he's not in handcuffs on the news.
That's right.
Like, he's like, it works out perfect. And I was like, dude, that's one of the funniest things that he goes.
That's very funny.
Yeah, it's
yeah, that's great. Then you're a kid and you're like, hey, what should I do with this John Rocker card? And you're like, oh, man, I don't know if I should. This maniac.
Give it to me, actually.
Oh, yeah, he was a former Brave guy.
I love John Rocker.
Yeah, man.
He was a madman.
In spite
of
everything, he's so funny to me.
Is that your team, Braves?
Yeah, Braves fan.
Oh, yeah, man. Let's go ahead and I picked you up a few Braves cards.
Did you really?
Yeah, man.
Wow. Yeah. Starting off with a Chipper Jones rookie card right here at the top. Oh, my God.
Yeah, Dion on the back.
Wow. Nice little team pack here. Number one draft pick, Chipper Jones. Number one overall draft pick.
Was he?
About that. Yeah.
So they knew what they were
doing. A
handsome guy. Yeah.
Saw him in person. Good looking guy. Greg Maddux.
Nice.
Love that. Look,
I think I got a Maddux from the Cubs, too, in there.
You do?
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, this is unbelievable. These are all my guys. These were the guys when I was growing up.
I was trying to think about your time.
Andrew Jones rookie.
Yeah.
How about that, dude? So good.
Did he get in the hall?
He's
right on the edge, isn't he?
Or, he's always the guy that's talked about as he should be in it.
Yeah, they'll get him in.
And there are tons of statistical arguments for he should be in
it. Well, they just don't value defense as much as they should, man.
Dude, he was so good, but he probably was responsible for like a generation of bad fielding because he would always kind of like lackadaisical, try to catch it without looking like he's trying. And we would all try to do that in the game, and you'd drop it. And they're like, come on, get in front of the ball. Yeah. You're not Andrew Jones. Man. This is awesome. Thank
I'm going to guess
Greg.
My dad had some things to say about it.
Back in my day, they played the game right. Deion Sanders.
He's hot dogging.
Yeah. Ryan Klesko played left field for the Braves. The first Braves game we ever went to, we sat right behind him in left field. And, dude, the things people were yelling at him. Yeah. I was a sheltered kid. I was horrified at what these people were yelling. And I just remember he took it with such humor and, like, took it in stride. Yeah. I was like, that's my guy.
Yeah.
And
he had a little pop in the bat, didn't he?
He was a good player. Yeah.
But didn't he? He had some power, didn't he?
He had a solid career. Absolutely. Yeah. He was
I don't know what we're doing. We just look on the back of that card and you tell
that's us. True. We got all the stats here on the back, but this is very cool. Thank you,
man. Oh, you bet, man. 1957 is when they switched from paintings to photos on the cards.
Oh.
1972 Topps went public and then they went back to private. And then at some point, Michael Eisner from Disney bought them.
Oh,
he bought the whole company?
Yeah, he bought it. And he had like he had designs on making TV shows out of them, out of some of the Topps properties. And he did, I think.
You ever notice, Dustin Nickerson made this point once, that is all Disney does is acquire other companies.
Yeah.
When's the last just like straight up Disney thing that you've seen or anybody's cared about?
Yeah.
It's all just their acquisitions. Pixar, aren't all the Marvel stuff is all Disney now?
Yeah.
Star Wars. Is Disney now?
Yeah.
Man.
They're just buying up everything.
ESPN, ABC.
Yeah, exactly.
I think is on. Yeah. No, it's just like.
They came up with Mickey and they're like, we're just going to acquire now.
Yeah. The last meaningful introduction, I think, was Goofy, you know?
Which he holds up.
Meaningful. The last culturally important thing.
Yeah, Goofy. Yeah. Initiative is what I was trying to say.
Initiative.
Their last meaningful initiative that they had their hands in was Goofy.
But they sold it. They sold Topps back or what?
Yeah, Topps now is owned by Fanatics.
Right.
But Eisner didn't own. He wasn't with Disney when he was with.
Oh,
he, went out he on himself
oh,
got
oh,
it.
Yeah, oh,
he
had, okay.
I think at that time he was already out on his own.
All right.
And then let's see. 1974. Up until 1974, they would release these cards in like six different series throughout the year. So you know, like, all right, it's April, we're going to put out, this. Yeah. And then they'd come again and they'd come. In 1974, they started putting out a full set of cards.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. Now they'll do, I see we got a couple, series one, series two.
Yep.
Then they have an update series and then they'll do like a chrome. Yeah.
Tell me about the update. Is that for like, that's for traded players and?
Just updated rosters.
Okay.
And then people that make their MLB debut middle of the season.
Yeah.
So guys, you can get the rookie card only in the update set, a few guys.
Yeah. And is that goes on now, right? That's a thing.
Oh, yeah.
It wasn't when I was collecting in the 80s. I don't remember that. I don't remember that happening. Yeah. I remember I tried to get all of them, just organically one time.
Yeah.
Just by going to the, getting packs. And there's a few cards that were just checklists.
Yeah, I remember.
It just showed, you just could check off which Did you deal with that?
Yeah, but you didn't want to check them because the idea of taking a writing instrument to a baseball card just felt so egregious at all.
Right.
Yeah.
But I wish I had that kind of I was not thinking that way when I was a kid.
Oh, were you checking
them? I would straight up have a card on the back of my bike.
Oh, yeah. In the spokes?
Yeah.
The players you really hated, like we would take the Cubs and they would be in the spokes on your bike. Yeah.
Did you guys?
Mark Grace was back there every single time.
Yeah. Did you guys flip them?
Flip them.
Yeah.
No. What do you mean?
There was a game that we would play. Me and Robbie Nerper would play this game where you would flip baseball cards and somehow you'd win cards from the other guy. It had to do with whether they were right side up or touching or something. Like, I can't remember any of it.
We had middle school. This was a big controversy at my middle school. We had a bit of a gambling ring going. There's not baseball cards are not involved, but we would call it flipping dollar bills. We'd go into the bathroom. You'd both flip a dollar bill and you call heads or tails. And if they matched, you'd get it. And if it didn't, then the other person would get it.
Wow.
And a lot of money was exchanged.
Really?
Real shady activity.
Going without lunch?
Parents got involved. Yeah.
That's how we paid for Notre Dame. Pretty well.
I had some weighted dollar bills.
Yeah, you did.
By the way, man, I was going to bring this up. I did get accepted to Notre Dame.
Did you really?
Yeah. I in 1986, I was kind of wanted to go there and went on a recruiting trip, but I was not given any. They didn't offer me any money.
Yeah.
It was like not even a real recruiting trip. Like
we wrestle there?
Yeah. Definitely.
Does Notre Dame have a good wrestling?
Not anymore.
Program?
But that then they did had at a the really time? Good for a very brief time. Somebody put a lot of money into it, and they had a very good team with a lot of big time recruits, and. I never lost to one of those guys. I'm going to be proud of that. Yeah.
So great. Let me ask you, if they offer
Todd Layton was the guy that I went up against. He was a four-time Kansas State champ. And I went up against Todd in high school and in college.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
If Notre Dame did offer you full scholarship, you think you would have went there?
Definitely.
100%.
Yeah, I think I would have gone there.
We missed out.
Man, that's what Notre Dame gets for being chiselers.
Yeah.
Fork it over.
Rand McCann was a coach, really good guy. I got to know him a little bit. And he's an awesome dude. So I mean,
know, are they a varsity program now, or is it
For wrestling?
Yeah,
at Notre Dame, no, they dropped the program I think they dropped it in the late 80s.
Broke my heart, man. Yeah. I was really had a hard time with that.
You did. Were you going through a dark time?
Yeah, it was tough.
I had a lot of friends on the rugby team. At Notre Dame, and they were a club sport. They weren't a varsity sport.
Yeah.
The legend is, and I don't know how true this is. I've done zero research, but this is the story that was told, is that in the 80s, they were a varsity program, and they went on some kind of road trip to New Orleans. Zero supervision. It's just the team on a bus in New Orleans in the 80s. So, you know, they started drinking a little bit. They ended up selling the bus to buy cocaine.
Oh my God.
And then they were just stuck in New Orleans. So as a punishment, Notre Dame was like, you guys obviously can't be. You're not a varsity program anymore. So 30 years later, that's why they were a club program. I have no idea if that's true, but man, is that a fun.
Let's go with it, and let's find out who bought the bus. That's what I want to know, man.
I remember one time.
You're funding their habit.
We drove home. We had a tournament every New Year's up in Chicago called the Midlands, and one of our buddies was like a graduate assistant. And you know, so he was kind of a coach too. And he drove the van. We used to go up, we went to Chicago in a van. He drove it, the university van, home, and we were all got home. And then he just had the van until we turned it in on Monday. And we decided, you know, it's New Year's. I think we got back maybe after New Year's or New Year's. And we were like, let's go party.
Of course.
And we took the university van out, and we had beers in it, and we picked up all the gymnasts, and and we're just driving around. And then it was like, we got to turn in the university van on Monday. We had to go, like, clean the beer cans.
You had to detail it.
Like, the trouble that we would have gotten in if that thing – got pulled over, you know, just like, university van with all the problems.
Open liquor, under it. You probably racked up a felony if you got pinched.
I do.
Greg would have priors on his record.
Yeah.
Aaron, was Notre Dame pretty big party school when you were in it? Are they like in that, like, Well, I mean, yeah, I don't know. Like,
yeah, I think
like
so.
West Virginia was a huge deal, like party school.
Well, West
like,
Virginia, when I was an incoming freshman, I don't know if study's the right word, but some poll came out that said West Virginia was the number one
yes,
party school in
right.
the country.
I love, you should probably make a bit out of that.
Study?
Yeah, that, like, yeah.
Researchers have
just
determined.
Like, just cut to these guys. Like, oh, Bill, can you get me the file on? I've got some data coming in that says.
Yeah. How do they get? They just go to the school and be like, you party? Just like John. You guys get loose this weekend?
Another one.
You guys like with short sleeves and a tie on, you know, that you see in the NASA film strips, like all like in those black glasses and the pen protector, all like just like it's in some ticker. Like, I don't know, guys. I think it's between West Virginia.
I'm with Aaron, though, man. I swear I heard that same thing. I think Wisconsin was like two.
Oh, that place.
It was just such
so fun.
Now, I would go visit my friends at SEC schools, and it was different. It's just culturally so much different the way everybody would party and drink and hang out. But there was a lot of that at Notre Dame. You're in South Bend, Indiana, dude.
Yeah, man.
You got to do something.
Yeah.
I remember being in Mizzou and visiting friends at Notre Dame. And Mizzou, all the dorms.
Mizzou's the school. That's Missouri. That's the school that Tim actually did go to.
And great, at Mizzou, you could under no circumstances have alcohol in your, you know, dorm rooms or anything like that. But the opposite sex could go freely in all these dorm rooms.
Yeah.
At Notre Dame, the last thing you wanted to do was have a female on your floor.
It's called parietals. That's what it was called. Yeah.
But every room had a bar the size of the funny bone inside of it. It was so opposite. It was it really threw me off. So
all that does sound like the Irish. Uh-huh. Yeah.
Only alcohol 14% and above was banned on campus, technically. Because you gotta have wine to make the blood of Christ on campus. So 14% and below was just kind of, all right, you can have it. Just don't be in our face about it.
Right.
You can have it.
Yeah.
But that being said, everybody had
who was the coach when you were there?
Brian Kelly. Brian Kelly's first year was my freshman.
Okay. Oh, got it. Yeah.
Were they good during that run?
My junior year, we went to the national championship.
Wow.
Got obliterated by Alabama.
Okay.
That's
pretty cool, though. God,
it was a fun time.
Manti Te'o.
Great
and
memories.
Stuff, right?
The Manti, that was all my junior year. My roommate walked on the football team.
Really?
Yeah. He got kicked out of Navy ROTC. Because he couldn't hit the mile and a half time. He was a big dude.
Okay.
So that's how many mile and a half time?
Yeah.
I'm 390.
I'm trashing myself, everybody. That's all.
Good. It's good. Right.
So he walked on the football team instead. So I had like an inside source on the team. So that was a really fun year.
Wow.
And then everything came crashing down right after that national championship game.
Yeah.
But before then,
it
was a fun time to be there.
That's got to be great.
Yeah.
Do you know the comedian Owen Smith?
I know of him. I've never met him.
Oh, you guys got to meet
Notre Dame
two great guys. Mm-hmm. Very, very funny comic.
Yeah.
I think he's like running TV shows now.
Oh, really?
Like yeah. He's a big.
Is he an LA guy, right?
Yeah, he's LA.
Okay.
But like we did Premium Blend together. I've known him.
Wow.
We did Montreal together.
Yeah,
like,
I'd love to meet him.
Great guy, man.
That's
just
cool.
Yeah, you got to meet him. Now, who was when you were like in your prime of being a Notre Dame fan? Allegedly, who was the coach?
Allegedly, when I was a kid and we went to a game every single year because my grandfather who went there had season tickets.
I love it.
Lou Holtz was the coach.
Sweet Lou.
And we'd go and do all the Lou Holtz stuff right into Bob Davies and into Ty. So all those. Lou Holtz years were the best.
Yeah.
It's a tough squad we're playing this week. We're going to face Navy and those boys, they're all going to be playing on Sundays. And I don't think we've got a prayer against Navy. I'll tell you that.
Disrespect
Lou. It's going to be a real tough season. I mean, Lou, I mean, they're 1-11. It's I know, but we really don't have a chance.
What a story it'll be when they win. That's a real quote for him. He has his cemetery plot already at the cemetery on campus at Notre Dame, and he's got it designed that he will be facing the stadium.
Oh, really?
So he said he can watch the games even after he dies.
That's great.
Now I love Lou Holtz. He's a character and big-time motivator.
Yeah.
So what else does Topps own in the candy world? We covered Bazooka. Tim, do you want to take a shot at it?
No idea. Is it? It's not a bubblegum thing. It's a Ring Pop.
Ring Pop.
Get out. Oh, yeah. Man. Huge.
Yes. As well as Push Pop that I'm not familiar with.
I got into Push Pop a little bit. Yeah.
Dabbled.
Yeah. In
a certain age, you don't want to be doing a Push Pop.
No.
You know what I mean? It's a tough look.
One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at Kosai.org.
Cleveland is where the urban meets the outdoors, where cultural celebrations meet rabid sports fans meet the symphony, where nobody goes hungry and everybody loves music. Fueled by passion, we are the land for life. From rich history to hidden gems, the Legends of the Land podcast shares the real stories from real Clevelanders that shape the city. From iconic chefs to grassroots changemakers, sports heroes to creative visionaries, learn why living all out is in Cleveland's DNA. Go to thisiscle.com/podcast.
Just for reference, they paid MLBPA, the Players Association, $20.4 million in the year 2020. Ooh. So there's some money. Yeah.
What's a pack of cards cost nowadays?
Man,
it really depends. It depends so much on the year. If you were to buy, like,
I mean, like the new year, like just at
like a box
Target.
This size from Target baseball. $24.99.
Okay.
Yeah.
I overpaid for that box.
I thought maybe we'd play
a
game.
Well, this is different. Basketball's different. Oh. Everything's different.
Let's play a game.
Oh, 1990.
This is a full set of 1990 Topps cards. I figured everybody pick one out. Okay. Whoever's player is the best, and we can talk through it.
Okay.
Gets the 2020
Heritage, Topps Heritage.
Yeah, and those are good cards, right?
The Topps Heritage ones are super fun. So every year they look like an old design. So this is from 2020, but they're all the 1971 design.
Okay.
Current players, but they look like the 1971
cool.
cards. Yeah, right. Yeah, it's really cool.
So Tim, you want to pick one out there?
Just picking a
okay, hold it to yourself.
Stack.
Oh, pretty good.
Yeah, yeah.
Pretty good.
How many are we grabbing here?
Just one.
Just one card.
Yeah, just one card.
I grabbed them.
It's like garbage pail kids.
I grabbed
man.
About 100.
They made garbage pail kids.
God, oh, is this Topps?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Just holding this feels good, man. It brings
it does.
Me back.
Yeah. Sean.
All right, Greg. Greg, don't tell me yours.
Got that smell to him, too.
I'll guess it like the Mentalist. I've been watching that guy. He just looks at your face, and he's like, that's your pink cup. I'm fascinated by this guy.
I don't get the trick
or the bit or what it is.
I met a Mentalist at Fanatics Fest. He's walking around doing stuff.
Yeah.
I don't know how he would do this. He gave me a business card. He goes, write anything you want on that card.
Yeah.
And I wrote down the number 143. And he was just like, he goes, all right, okay, it's not a house. Yeah, it's not a person. 143.
No. Come on.
Did he watch your fingers?
No. Had his back to me when I wrote it. I held it in my hand.
I want in. I want to do it. I want in. I want to be a mentalist.
You have
I'm gonna
no
guess
idea.
His car. I'm going to look at his face, and I'll tell you who he
Sean,
is.
Sean, I don't know how they do it. I'm going to guess it requires some bit of concentration, which you don't
now,
have.
We don't know.
You don't have.
That's
don't
the
know.
First step, though, is deciding I want to do it.
Yeah, that's that
right.
is.
You got to commit.
Yeah.
Sean
yeah.
could watch you write 143 and be like, is it a house?
Sean, he just showed you it said 143. He's like, standard poodle.
I'm not even kidding. I was watching YouTube the other night about how to be a mentalist. Like just some like goofballs making videos for like of like little tricks. And I pulled my girlfriend Heather over. I'm like, hey, I'm gonna guess. Like think of number 100 and I'm gonna get it. And I'm like doing all these.
You're staring
and I'm like,
at her.
27. She's like 4. I'm like, all right, I'm off.
But I'll get you right here. I'll do that to you, Sean. Think of a number between 50 and 100. Don't say it out loud. Between 50 and 100.
I got it.
Where both digits are even.
Yes.
And they're not the same digit.
Gotcha.
68.
Not bad, 62.
Okay. I swear. I mean, it's pretty bad.
That's pretty good.
The whole point is to get things out.
It is, but I just feel like I'm like giving you a boost by saying that like you were close, even though it wasn't.
Have you done that before? What made you think?
Most
you were
people say 68.
Really? Because
you say same digit, you think 66, and then you go up.
Ah, I was at 26.
Well, it was between 50 and 100.
I still don't get what you're saying.
Who's your player? Yeah, but like you didn't get it.
Tim, you want to lead with who's your player is?
Yeah, I got Brewers catcher BJ Sorhoff, who was pretty good.
Yeah.
This is fairly early in his career. It was just a few years in. But
yeah.
Let me guess,
pull up
Greg.
The internet.
Let me just guess the position, and then I'll stop.
Okay.
Is he doing mentalist stuff?
No, I'm doing it. I got it. I can tell. You're looking to the right. It's a catcher. A catcher.
For me or for Tim?
No, for you. You have a catcher. Mentalist.
No.
Oh, man.
No.
All right, I quit being a mentalist. I quit.
That's the span of most stuff that he commits to. Like right there. He gave it more of a shot than he gives a lot of hobbies and things. And
Aaron,
all right, I quit. The first sign of adversity, he's out.
Well, that's a tough. I mean, there's how did that guy get that number? It's insane.
I have no idea.
Whatever it is, I bet he's had to work at it quite a bit.
I think it's a lot of training.
Who's your player?
I got old Franklin Stubbs.
Frankie Stubbs.
You better believe it.
Not familiar.
Dodgers, first baseman from 84 to 89. Wow.
Okay.
Ooh, interesting.
I'm in the lead.
Is this a cheat card?
Yeah,
do we have value here?
You know what's kind of the beautiful thing about this, or maybe the sad thing about it, is these people were pulling out of this pack. This is from 1990. This is from 35 years ago.
Yeah.
Right? And we don't even know who these guys are. These are literally the best people to ever play this sport.
Yeah. Greatest athletes.
The greatest athletes ever.
Yeah, yeah.
They come from a town where they're the only person to ever play professional sports. And then just time, man.
Yeah.
35 years later, we're like, I don't know. I got some idiot named Stan Belinda.
I've heard of Stan Belinda, though.
You have?
Yeah.
Now, this is a second year card, so there's not a lot of great stats on here.
All right. So, Tim, I want you to go type.
You guys know BJ, right?
BJ Sorhoff, definitely. BJ, I think Sorhoff, I might have him beat. Yeah. I got Rafael Ramirez, shortstop for the Braves.
Okay. Oh, yeah.
So go just type Rafael Ramirez WAR.
Oh.
We're going to evaluate by war. War,
the statistic. Okay.
It's a statistic.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, the Rafael Ramirez War, that was during the Franco-Prussian War, too.
Classic Greg.
A different thing, yeah.
7 days.
Yeah, a seven-day war. Yeah, no, there was not any sort of military battle.
I was
battle
making sure,
over
man.
You want to explain what war is?
Yeah, because some people don't know what you're saying when you say war.
War, and you can probably explain it better. It's just a way to rank one player against another. Basically, wins over above replacement.
So the whole goal, you look at the back of a baseball card, there's all these statistics, right? I got a pitcher's card. So I got wins, losses, runs, earned runs, strikeouts, walks, game saves, games completed, right? All these stats. But none of these, you want one singular statistic, right? That's been the goal forever, is to just have one number to determine how good a player is. So war, that's kind of, we accept it now, that's the best we got, right?
It's a way to compare a shortstop to a pitcher.
It's a really complicated formula, but it's wins above replacement. It's how many wins would you generate versus an average player.
Right? Yeah, yeah. Very Billy Bean feel, right?
Yeah, it's not necessarily.
I feel like it was just very analytical.
It is. It's math.
Hold on.
Are you dropping Billy Bean to what? Sound smart or because he's a big Sorkin fan?
What? Billy Bean, the Moneyball,
Aaron Sorkin wrote Moneyball.
Sorkin.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Okay.
So that's why. Joke's on me.
Yeah.
Gotcha.
Yeah, you're good.
All right, Sorkin did Moneyball. Sorry, guys. Sorry, Sorkin.
There's no way you're going to beat me. Who do you have?
Stan Belinda. He's a pitcher for the Pirates. Spent a lot of time in Salem, Harrisburg, and Buffalo.
Okay. All right, go Bills.
This guy, 86 to 89, he was hopping from minor league team to minor league team. I mean, this is like looking at a comics
best
card.
Best year, what's his year?
Where he's featured.
Did he ever pitch a bunch of games?
Oh, yeah. He played 53 games in 1988.
Okay. Who's yours, Sean? Yeah. Who's your player?
I have Franklin Stubbs, first baseman. Los Angeles Dodgers.
Frankie Stubbs. You're getting his war?
Yeah, sure am. BJ seems very high.
Yeah.
BJ Sorhoff.
That's why he's one of the names that we recognize.
Yeah.
Was he always with the Brewers?
No, he was.
Indians, maybe?
Yeah.
No, he was no, BJ Serov is not going to win.
This takes me back. This was the sleepovers when I was a kid. This is all we did.
Yeah.
It was just like bring your best cards to show off to your friends and you're reading the stats on the back.
So Aaron, let me ask you this. So if you go right now, like, is it still like, if you go, you buy this, is there like maybe hopefully some wild card in here that's worth like, man, I might get the jackpot.
2021, I'm trying to think of who are like the chase rookies.
Yeah, what would you be squeezing for in this right now?
2021, I mean, you hope to get like an autograph card or a relic card or a numbered card.
Oh, so they put those in with the
in with the pack.
Go open it up.
Yeah, so this is a 2021 Topps Holiday. This is a special edition.
Holiday.
They're going to look just like the Topps 21 regular cards, but there's going to be like a Christmas wreath around the edge.
Okay. Oh, okay, he called
I'm looking. AJ Puck went to Notre Dame, I believe.
Oh, that's good.
How about that? Yeah.
I see a New York Met coming.
Okay. Yeah. Brandon Nimmo.
Nimmo's good.
Brent Rooker has become a very good player for the A's right here.
Nimmo was real good.
Yeah.
And had a good year that year.
Yeah. Joe Adele, he's been up and down, but he was a... I had a lot of his cards. Clayton Kershaw.
Oh, come on, right there.
Yeah, Trey Mancini also went to Notre Dame.
Yeah. Oh, really?
Yeah, right there.
Who
recovered from cancer too?
And was a and got traded at one point.
He did. He just got traded to the Cubs.
I think. For
Trey Mancini.
Yeah.
Devin Williams, who's a great closer
from St. Louis,
for the Brewers.
Hazelwood West High School.
It's real good.
Really good. Was supposed to be the guy that came after. Who's the big time closer that they traded?
The Cubs?
No, the guy for the Brewers that was the unhittable closer. Went to the Padres.
Yes. Last name was with an S.
Had the kind of mullet.
Josh
Hader.
Hader, sure.
Josh Hader. Williams was the guy that was going to come behind him.
And he's been great. He's had a good career.
Yeah. Devin Williams.
Up. All right. You want me to tell you his wars?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I want to hear it.
Yeah. How are we doing here, man?
What's his name? Rafael
Ramirez.
His war, his win above replacement, was 6.
Which is respectable.
So over the course of his entire career, he would give you 6 more wins than an average player.
Yeah.
Stan Belinda. Wins above replacement 5.3.
Oh, wow.
Who had Stubbs?
I had Stubbs over here.
Yeah. Frankie Stubbs.
4 wins above replacement.
Okay.
That's fair enough.
Dude. My guy, BJ, that I if you remember, I declared was going to be hard to beat from the beginning.
And?
He's sitting at 35.
Wow. 35.
In a season.
Wow. Save that card.
That's insane. Yeah. I told you.
In a season. No, that's career, right?
That's career.
Career.
It's career.
War. Career, but I'm saying it's wins above replacement. How many wins in a season more you will get by having
Total career.
Total, buddy.
Total career.
Yeah,
man.
30. I mean, that's a fifth of a season. See, he's the greatest
if you
player.
You had a guy that would give you 35 wins.
Wait, but how
if you have this guy, you'll get 35 more wins.
How do you compute that? There has to be a
it's a super complicated formula. Very complicated. Nobody can tell you, but
I can learn it.
No, but you're what I'm saying is the final output, that final number, wins above replacement, has to be per how you're going to get 4 more wins out of that guy for how over a course of
career
how many games.
A career.
But career
changes
so much. Guys,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
So BJ had a longer career.
Look, that's not a perfect statistic. It's the best.
He's right, though, Tim. It's not in a year. You're crazy if you think a guy has a 35 war for a year. Nobody in history
Jesus
has had
Christ
more than,
would have a war.
But there has to
35.
I'll find what it is.
You're not going to be able to figure it out.
Now, I think Mookie Betts in 2019, 2017 had the greatest single season war, and it was not even close.
Yeah, you're right.
Yeah.
I agree that, it's not one season. But it has to be, you understand.
So
what
you
I'm
win
saying.
The. Yeah. You're
winning
this,
it to be.
Buddy.
Thank you very much.
You win that.
I appreciate it.
Congratulations.
Well, that's the thing about baseball, dude. It's not, as Bob Costa says, it's a human enterprise. It doesn't embody most or perfectly what makes America great, but it comes closer than most things.
Yeah.
Wow.
That's very well said.
Yeah. Oh, man.
No, it's Bob Costa said it, not me.
St. Louis guy.
St. Louis.
Well, is he really?
New York guy that spent his life in.
Spent a life
You guys ever just live life and not talk about St. Louis?
Yeah. No, I mean, it's hard not to, buddy.
It is. Hey, man, I don't claim to be from there.
We're saying the right things here. Costas.
I'm kidding.
I met him when I was a little kid. When I was in the 7th grade, we took a trip.
Yeah.
We got to meet Bob Costas.
He seems cool. Tiny little dancer, right? Little guy.
Yeah, he's not tall.
Sure,
there goes Greg. Probably just going to castigate me.
You want to
all right.
See what you get
castigates
there?
His word.
There
that's
it is.
That's all I got. I don't it's not bah, 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 it's not bah, bah, a 10, but it's probably a 6.
That's not that wild of a word.
I know, man. That's
no,
why
I like it. I didn't know what that was.
Good.
I've heard it.
Castigate. You know castigate?
All right.
I don't know.
All right, engender.
Yeah.
Cuz that's how this whole thing started. I used the word engender and they thought like I had like your degree or something. And they're like, what does that mean? Why are you being smart?
You might be castigating more than anybody I know. Castigate means to reprimand someone severely.
And I said, here we go. Greg's gonna.
Yep.
Yep. Wow. So that's what do I, just gonna open this up and talk about it?
Yeah, man.
Hey, what I got a question.
Well, talk about what pack, what's the pack you're about to open? This 2022
Topps
Chrome. So these are going to be, it's going to be a different material. They're going to be reflective. They're going to be chrome. That's why it's called that. Unfortunately, Wander Franco is the face of this pack. Mentioned earlier, the since disgraced.
Man, I got to Google that.
I think
when
he just
home.
Got convicted, actually. Jeez Louise. In the Dominican Republic, I think.
Yeah.
But he was he was the chase card from that year. It was like you opened up, you try to get the Wander cards. He was like the most promising prospect in a long
time. And so what are they? I mean, do they tell you odd like one per 5,000 packs it's in? Or yeah, you have no idea.
Not for specific players, but if you look on any pack of baseball cards, they legally have to put the odds. So the odds are on here somewhere, it'll tell you. Like the odds of getting an autograph or out of X. So, yeah.
All right.
Inside, it'll have all the – now it'll just tell you to go to a website. For approximate odds per pack, please visit. You know, some of these scumbags, they get caught on Reddit. Some of these scumbags go into Target with a scale and they weigh these boxes because some of the like the chase cards, the cards that have – it'll weigh slightly different.
So what?
Yeah. So these dirt bags come in.
Chase
there.
Card is one that you want.
Yeah, like a special card, like an autograph where it has like a relic in it, like a patch or a part of a bat.
Oh, yeah,
or
something.
So it'll weigh a little bit different. So some of these guys, dude, will come in. You get caught with a scale. Like, what a dirt bag, dude.
That's on the up and up, right? You're not stealing anything.
Up and up? Are you crazy, man? Yeah. What?
That's on the
you
up
didn't steal
Greg.
Anything.
That's all. I mean, you walking live in retail, Greg. Are you happy about that, man?
I don't mind it. I'm not going to lie. I don't mind it. If the guy's willing to do that kind of research and he wants to bring a scale in.
Look, it's not illegal.
There's what I'm saying. It's like
it's unethical, though. I'll say that.
I don't think it's unethical.
You're taking it away from kids, dude.
Oh, I see what you're saying.
Greg? And adults like me.
Yeah. You want to open that up?
Yeah,
I really do.
Top 2022 Chrome. Right. These Chrome cards look beautiful. They feel good. I love a Chrome, Topps Chrome card right here.
All right, here we go.
If you pulled like a Wander Franco autograph.
You guys want to go reverse mentalism? Tell me what we got. I want in, man. Somebody teach me.
reverse mentalism.
So stupid. Okay.
Yeah.
Aaron, this is you're the host today. I want you because I don't want to screw something
JT
up.
JT Realmuto.
That's like
now look, these are actually a little bit stuck
did you say
together.
JT Realmuto?
Yeah, JT.
It's a great player.
Yeah. There's a great player. Unfortunately, but, if it's not his rookie card or anything, so it's just a cool card to have.
These are nice looking cards.
Tim Anderson, yeah. Look, they're
Tim little, Anderson, great player.
He got punched in the face during a game. It hasn't quite been the same.
When he was at the White Sox, he had a great year, though, didn't he?
He did have a couple of good years. Yeah. Matt Olson there now on
very
the Braves.
Good player.
Byron Buxton, who should be an all-star. Tyler Gilbert, Brian De La Cruz, Mike Trout. That's a cool
Come on, man.
One of the greatest players of all time right there. Card. And look at this. Unbelievable.
Did we do it?
Unbelievable. Sean pulled this on the podcast. That is an autographed Chaz McCormick rookie card.
Nice.
Autographed.
There we go.
Topps Chrome. A solid player for the Houston Astros.
Dude, that's mentalist
that's
stuff
an
right
autographed
there.
Card
man, I know.
Right there. Look
no,
at
dude,
that.
This is yours, man. You're the collector.
Oh,
no, actually, you know, this actually leads me to what I was going to ask you a minute ago.
Right.
So is this like what are we talking
was
value
that the third
increase
baseman for the Dodgers back
of this?
Justin Turner.
He's
yeah.
a fantastic player.
I'll get back to that in a second, but this is a Giancarlo Stanton.
Oh, yeah.
Card
he's
player
money
for the Yankees.
Bank.
This is a parallel. I don't know if you can see it on the camera. So it's not autographed. It's not numbered or anything, but you can see it's a little bit different. It's got a different kind of pattern on it.
Really cool.
So that's called a parallel.
So we put that on eBay right now. What are we talking?
This card right here, I don't know, $2 or $3.
Now this one, maybe?
That, if you get that graded.
Okay.
I would get that graded, maybe, where you send it to like an independent agency.
Authenticity.
They evaluate the quality of the card. They put it in a protective slab. They give you a grade 1 out of 10. I don't know. I don't know enough about that. But to get an autographed rookie Topps Chrome, to pull it out of a pack is pretty cool.
Way to
right,
go, buddy.
But man, if it gets just like slightly nicked on the ends, I mean, that just kills the value.
Let me ask you this.
It can, it can.
If that thing gets to the grater and he opens it up and it smells very much like Creed Aventus cologne.
I'll give him a little send it away.
Is that going to make it more valuable or less valuable?
Fortunately, smell is not one of the criteria.
Well, here's the thing, man. According to Sean, the Creed appreciates in value. He has $6,000.
I don't have $6,000. Like, I did say that. I was wrong.
You wear a Creed cologne?
Yeah.
Like Scott Stapp?
No.
Like
oh yeah,
Creed the band.
Oh no, no, I'm sorry, I got excited. I was thinking,
oh yeah,
I was thinking of Scott Spezio. He used to wear it.
Spezio,
formal ball player. No, no, it's just this high end. It's annoying. People are sick of me and sick of it. But it's me. I smell fantastic. So, anyways, bottom line is this:
I did notice that.
I think this is something you should enjoy.
Wow, and, that's really
you know,
nice.
You earned it. I did the hard work. I opened
it. Dropped it on the ground.
Yeah, thanks, buddy.
Yeah, there you go.
My bad. I'll grab it later. I gotta grab
it's fine.
I gotta grab it a little more delicately.
That's very
cool to pull an autograph. See, that's what those
should
are
we put it in a sleeve
pack.
Just for safety?
I'll put it in a. Well, we're not gonna take the Chipper Jones rookie out of a sleeve.
Of course, but I mean, a sleeve.
Disrespectful, man. It's like this guy's a Braves fan.
I'll find a penny sleeve for it in a little bit.
One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at kosai.org.
If you're shopping while working, eating, or even listening to this podcast, then you know and love the thrill of a deal. But are you getting the deal and cash back? Rakuten shoppers do. They get the brands they love, savings, and cash back. And you can get it too. Start getting cash back at your favorite stores like Target, Nike, and Instacart. Stack sales on top of cash back and feel what it's like to know you're maximizing the savings. It's easy to use, and you can get your cash back sent to you through PayPal or check. The idea is simple. Stores pay Rakuten for sending them shoppers, and Rakuten shares the money with you as cash back. Download the free Rakuten app or go to Rakuten.com to start saving today. It's the most rewarding way to shop. That's Rakuten, Rakuten.com.
You want to do some fun facts?
I would love
it. Yeah, make them fun and make them factual, buddy.
Some fun facts.
Hey, what's going on? Are we talk about these cards or is that a save for later?
This is,
what is this all about?
That might have some gum in it.
This is a Desert Storm.
I'll chew it.
These are Desert Storm cards.
Oh, I hope I pull Saddam.
You see.
yeah, give me Usei or whatever that little Usei psycho was.
Autographed rookie card.
Let's see. I don't know what this is. It's
you put them together in a crazy
It's a French flag.
Those are our allies.
Desert Storm slang. Allied forces. USS Long Beach.
That was great.
There's a few weapons here.
Wow.
No weapons of mass destruction.
Yeah, that's very funny.
The
F. It's in there. Keep looking.
F-111 Aardvark. F-15 Eagle. Tent City. I was hoping to get a Rumsfeld.
I love that.
Yeah.
I have a Hillary Clinton chrome card. I have a few.
Yeah.
Right.
I have a relic card from some dictator. I can't remember who.
Idi Amin?
I can't remember his name. Doesn't sound like
Pol Pot.
Not Pol Pot. I would have remembered Pol Pot. He's one of the big ones. I got a couple cards for you guys.
Pol Pot rookie card.
What?
Oh, really?
I know you guys are Cardinals fans.
Oh,
right?
Yeah.
All three of you.
Yeah. All three of us.
I don't want Cardinals cards in my collection.
I'm trying to get rid of them.
He's a Braves
fan. So I have a few. Now, these are all – these are Topps cards. Fits the theme.
Yeah.
These are Cardinals players. I try to find players from your respective eras.
Okay.
Oh, nice.
Okay. And
you better not give me the usual.
They're all these are all PSA graded.
Rogers Hornsby, Greg.
All right.
And autographed here. We'll start with Sean.
All right, buddy.
Look at
this. This is exciting.
This is
a great day.
This is a Jim Mint 10 PSA autographed Jim Edmonds.
Whoa.
Yeah, look at that, man.
Look at that.
Jimmy Edmonds. And I met him at the Cheesecake Factory.
Did you wait really? On him?
30% for carryout. That's a fact. That's a fact.
Great. Tipper.
Old J.E., he brought heat. Dude, this is amazing, buddy.
Look at the case on that, man.
Yes, that's a PSA slab. So when you send in a card to PSA for them to grade, they put it in a slab like this. And that's a gem mint 10. Literally could not be in better condition.
Wow. Dude, amazing. I know exactly. It's going right next to my Creed collection.
Two weeks. It's going to have mustard
right
on
it. Scott Stapp autograph card.
That's great.
No, that's beautiful, buddy. Thanks, man.
Tim, I have one of the best Cardinals players ever. This is a 2006 Topps Chrome. This is a PSA 9, okay. Not quite a 10, but still mint condition, technically. Adam Wainwright.
Oh, yeah, Adam Wainwright, right there. They won the series that year, right?
Yeah,
look at that. 2009. Yeah. Oh,
I thought you said 6.
Buddy.
My bad.
Yeah, that's a good one. That's called a sticker auto, unfortunately. So he didn't actually sign the card. So sometimes they're called on-card autos, like the Jim Edmonds one. He actually signed that card.
Yeah, I got the real deal.
Sometimes they make them sign a bunch of stickers, and then they put the stickers on the card. But it's still technically an autograph
card.
That's awesome, man. So not quite as cool, but
got to meet
that's
Wayne
a good
Owens.
One. And then this is for Greg. Hate to age you.
Bob Gibson.
Hate to date you, but, I mean, you're not far off. This is a PSA 10 autographed. This is not as rookie. Lou Brock.
Yeah!
That's amazing, card.
Man.
Yeah,
dude.
Absolutely.
Boy, what a day.
Look at that,
PSA 10. Great condition. What year is the card? It says it at the top. It doesn't say it at the top there. This is from 1969.
Yeah, that's man. Awesome. They played in the World Series the year before.
Wow. Yeah, look at that. Lou Brock.
That is thank you,
so
buddy.
Three of the all-time great cards players.
Thanks a lot, buddy.
This is awesome.
Edmonds, who had the best catch in the history of baseball.
Still the greatest catch of all time.
Do we agree with that?
Yeah. In my opinion. Better than the Willie Mays catch.
Oh, thanks, man. That's awesome.
I saw Stan Belinda make one on the mound one time. It was right up there.
Yeah. So you talk about wars with the three of these guys.
Are you kidding me?
Yeah, unbelievable.
Yeah. I got to meet him once. This is unbelievable, man.
Yeah, absolutely.
Passed away, I think, 2 years ago. And, I mean, I remember having his cards in the 80s. I remember being a fan when he was playing.
Yeah.
He went out strong. Like, I think he hit 300 his last year.
It was always a threat on the bases.
Oh, yeah.
He was a beast.
He had the record until Ricky Henderson broke it.
Unfortunately, great franchise you guys are a fan of.
We share a lot of the Terry Pendletons, the Andre Scalaragas.
Oh, sure.
A lot of Braves.
Ron Gant? I think he was on both teams.
He was on both, yep. Uh-huh.
Right?
Did Gant play for the Braves?
Am I wrong on that?
Yeah. His best years were
Brian Braves. Jordan, I think, played
yes.
for
Brian Jordan, Jordan did, yeah. Sure. He was a commentator for the Braves until recently.
I loved him, man.
With his NFL and MLB. Like, what a freak athlete.
Yep. Yeah. Yeah.
Awesome.
See, cards are fun.
That's awesome, man. Dude, these are
yeah. Yeah.
So what is the end game? Do collectors, is their end game bank them and then one day they're worth this and then unload, or just I'm sitting on it, I'm giving it to my kid, they'll give it to their kid, is it just a bunch of
it depends. If it's a card that's meaningful to people, I think they just sit on it and they're like, I just want to have this is my holy grail card, I'll just sit on it. But there are guys that just flip, dude, that just
flip.
They're just trying to make money on it.
Yeah, Greg's gonna flip. I got this for the rest of my life, buddy. I'll tell you that right now. This is on record. I will never any offer. I won't move
Tim's
it.
Tim's on eBay right now.
Yeah, Tim, put your phone away. He's taking pictures of it, uploading.
I have an auction going. I'm waiting to see. Yeah, my three.
Buy it now, $50.
But this is what I think people should get about. I mean, because I've heard people go, look, it's just a piece of cardboard with a dude on it. Like, yeah, I guess it is. But it's like, you know what it is, man? You grab that, think about all the memories of watching the Cardinals come back, and it's just like, I don't know. I think there's a real sentimental value to it.
At one time in my life, the single biggest rush I could get was opening that card and getting those Cardinal players. It was the only thing that mattered. Maybe being in that stadium and watching a game, the second best thing that could happen in my life was getting that card you wanted. Right. And even now, as I open up the 1991, when I was 10 years old, those same cards, it's such a good feeling. So.
Tim, I want you to have that 90 set there.
Oh, I'll take it.
That's for you, buddy. Absolutely.
Yeah.
I will totally take it. Sounds awesome. Devastating to find out.
Oh, wait a minute. You got that. No, you can't have that. That goes to Aaron. Yeah.
Oh, the 90 set?
Yeah, because you got the 2020, didn't you?
That's fine. We'll negotiate. Let me see what this thing does on eBay, and we'll do a final.
Sorry. I thought Aaron got that. Aaron, you get the 90 set.
Aaron, what's your collection look like? Are you in the thousands? with cards?
Oh, I probably have 50,000 cards.
Holy moly.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So you're all in.
I don't have a ton that's worth, because people, I try to talk about this on stage. People go like, well, what's your most valuable card? I go, well, you can't think about it like that. Yeah. And I got nothing now. But, you know, if Jazz Chisholm gets in the Hall of Fame, I'll make like $40 one day. Yeah.
Well, I mean, unfortunately, like, we were all collecting during the era where there was just a glut of cards, right? The 80s and the 90s?
Yes. It's called like the junk era or the wax era, where there was just so many cards made that they essentially have no value. Outside of a few, like there's like the Griffey's rookie card in 89, I think. Like there's a few in there, but on the most part, it's, they're just cool to have, but there's not going to be like a diamond in the rough in there.
Some of those pictures are imprinted in my, I remember the Jerry Mumphrey card. I remember what they look like, Tony Clark. Uh-huh. I remember there was a card, Major League Baseball, I think in the late 70s or early 80s, had a bubblegum blowing contest that was sponsored by Topps, and there was this guy from the Brewers that won it, and there was a card of him with a big bubble that he was blowing.
Yeah, man, takes you back.
Some fun facts on Topps.
Let's do it.
Liz McGuire, if you remember this, was hit by a 110 mile per hour Beau Bichette, son of Dante, foul ball at a Blue Jays game, and then Topps put her on a card. They issued 110 of those cards, and in the picture, she has a giant lump on her head. So now they do all kinds of fun.
You say Lizzie McGuire?
Liz McGuire is her name.
Okay,
yeah.
Not Hillary Duff.
It was not Hillary Duff.
Oh, okay.
Hillary's fine.
It's just a woman named Liz McGuire.
Yeah, yes, yeah, exactly.
And you can't go by Lizzie if your name's Liz McGuire.
Cannot. No. Before baseball cards, Topps tried to sell a set of collectible presidential coins. They wound up using the leftover coins because they didn't sell well for a board game called Meet the Presidents.
I've never heard of that.
I never played it.
Never played that game.
Yeah. We mentioned this. They discontinued gum.
Truman.
Topps got rid of the gum in 1992, which is right about
why a kid passed away.
Stopped. Yeah.
No.
It was sticking to the cards and leaving residue. I remember this really, really well. You'd be bummed if your really good card.
Oh, that's true. Yeah. If it was sticking on this, and then the whole thing would be ruined.
Now that I think that might be why. So if you open up a regular pack of cards today, the valuable card, the hit will be second or third from the end, usually upside down or backwards.
Wow. Why?
So
because that's the one maybe that they don't want
to
damage.
Maybe for that reason it just became part of it. So it'll never be the last card or the first card.
Yeah, I noticed it when you opened it up. I was like, okay. So that's just
you kind of flip past the first ones. It'll be towards the end will be the parallel or the hit.
It is funny though, man. Like the people that you were just shuffling by. Yeah. I'm like, that Hall of
Mike
Famer.
Oh, Mike Trout.
I'm like, what are you? Can we not take a minute to just sit here and celebrate the career of that guy?
Sure. Oh, these are all great players.
Yeah.
Verdugo, thank you for your service for the Braves this year. Alex Manoah had a great year. Yeah, but these are cool cards to have if you like the player, but not particularly.
I wonder at what point they started calculating more the order that they were putting them in, because I got to think that when we were collecting, they were just, it was, the whole thing was completely random, right?
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, you legally have to have the odds for the hits.
Well, like, if you're advertising them, but back in the day, they really weren't.
Cards, late 80s,
it was all completely, because sometimes you'd get six Cardinals in a pack.
There was a couple like misprints I remember hearing about.
Oh, yeah.
That was worth something.
I think there's a Frank Thomas rookie card where his name's just not on the card. It just got left off.
Wow.
Just a no-name card.
There was a year, I think it was 91, the Donruss ones had the lines through their names. It was a really cool design, but they would constantly mess up because it'd also be their signature. Right. And it would constantly mess up where the lines went, and those became
more
valuable.
Yeah.
In 2021 in Mosby, Virginia, this guy named Tim Banizek posted about cards on Facebook. Fellow soccer parent said, come see my dad's collection. Banizek bought it. 20 million cards. The guy has 20 million cards. Wow. The seller was reclusive and wished to remain anonymous. Previously, a guy named Paul Jones in Idaho claimed to have the largest private collection with 2.8 million cards.
Wow.
2.8 to 20 million?
20 million.
How much space do you think that takes?
It's somewhere in Virginia,
Yeah.
I want to go back and revise my number of 50,000. I think it's probably less than that.
Yeah.
I'm just thinking about the volume. I mean, I have tens of thousands, but 50,000 feels
great. That's great.
2.8 million.
Yeah.
Man.
Did you guys ever have like a locker? I had a my mom and dad for Christmas when you got me like a baseball collar. Like you'd open it and it had little slots in it. For each team, you would put all your cards there, and you put all your.
I've got just massive cardboard boxes.
Yeah, that's what this guy has. I read about this guy. Yeah.
I had the binders too. That I'd sort them by team, and then I'd be like, now I'm going to sort them by number of the thing. Like it was so fun. But I got all the binders, and then just tons of those boxes. Mm-hmm. Greg mentioned this earlier, but Topps owns Garbage Pail Kids. Wacky Packages. I'm not familiar with that.
Wacky Packages.
And Dinosaurs Attack.
So Garbage Pail Kids were amazing. I had a good run with those.
Did you really? You collected?
I loved it, man.
I've heard you mention that on the podcast three or four times. Garbage Pail Kids.
Oh, have I? Yeah, they were great.
That movie, I believe, one of the worst movies of all time.
Is Garbage Pail Kids?
Yeah.
Oh, they,
but it has like a cult following.
Was it animated?
No.
Okay.
Live action, and it was gross.
It probably should have been animated.
Yeah. They missed that one.
Dude, some of them, man, too. If you just look at, like, it's so out of bounds. Like, PC of like what it would be today would never fly.
Yeah. Totally. Like, we can't even talk about some of them on here.
No. Yeah. It's too, it's,
don't.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, it'd also just be like Chubby Cheryl or something.
It's
like a fat woman. Uh-huh. That's the whole point of it.
Jeez.
Gross.
Some poor kid with acne.
That is your exact.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
No, that bullying cards.
There's like
pizza
10 names.
P-E-T-E pizza face.
I'm in the middle of a cycle with acne right now. I got it on my forehead. So I put a hat on.
Oh, yeah.
But the hat is making it worse.
I've never noticed it. Never noticed your skin.
Well, it's because I'm covering it up. I got you. Yeah, if I took it off, you'd see a couple things.
Okay.
So I don't know what to.
I'm sure you're fine, man.
Dude. I don't know.
It's not garbage pail.
And, dude, I'm telling you, man. I mean, it's a weird way. Like, you look great and you're special. Like, I'm dead serious.
Thanks, dude.
Like, I was happy with it. You had a nice beard fade, nice alpha. I was like, hey, Aaron's like sharp.
Thanks, dude.
And great stuff, man.
Oh, yeah, let's go ahead and plug that right now.
Why we're not talking about that, I don't know.
Reason, well, thank you.
Because everybody's seen it. But if for some reason,
it again.
Some crazy reason you're listening to this podcast, if you have not seen Aaron's special signature dish on the Nate Land YouTube channel, you're going to love it. It's a real fast watch, man. You'll start it and you'll be like, oh my gosh, I just watched a half hour comedy. It's really, really funny. And you did look great in it.
Thanks,
man.
Keep an eye out for these two sets on Nate Land, right?
Soon. Oh, these guys.
I hosted your show, I think.
Yeah, and you closed your
show, and it was just great.
It was fun, man. Very proud of these guys. Really well.
And I had to put up with all the music stuff I did. So the band coming out, and Aaron had to navigate that.
Just tell some jokes already.
Oh, man.
Man, stand in front of the mic and say words.
I'm really proud of these guys. Let's do Convy's consumer comments.
A little bit.
What's the word of the week?
Castigate.
That's right. You want some comments?
Yeah, that's a good one just to use later.
Yeah, throw it to me, man. I'll whip it in.
Cajole.
Oh, sure.
Cajole.
Oh, yeah. Man, love that.
Is that persuade?
Yeah.
Yeah, like, to kind of get it out of you. To get out of you.
Yeah.
It's good. Cajole.
Just spelled like it is, like phonetically,
C-A-J-O-L.
J-O-L.
Yeah.
All right. These comments coming to you from the Rubbermaid episode.
Okay.
On YouTube. Leave those comments on the YouTube channel, on the Apple Podcasts, and on the Consumers Podcast fan page over on Facebook. Jacob K66 said, if you remember, we added the comments to the Rubbermaid episode. We shot them here and then added them on.
Right.
Some input from Jacob. He says, thanks for filming the first part with the sepia filter. Always wanted to know how the show would have looked in the 1970s. Tristan, you want to weigh in on that?
What's that guy's name?
That was Jacob. Jacob K66.
Yeah, you'll be hearing from Tristan.
Yeah.
Didn't care for your input.
Yeah. Amanda Akers Homestead said, I opened my YouTube, saw the new episode was Rubbermaid, and I pumped my fist. Am I the first person to ever fist pump Rubbermaid?
No.
No, I think that's totally reasonable.
Every day.
It's a great brand. Yeah. The Boy Don't Play said, I'm not sure how I made it through the entire... Oh, no, this is great. I'm not sure how you made it through the entire Sears episode without pulling out a catalog, but spent 3 hours and 90 minutes paging through a catalog of Rubbermaid items.
There it is.
That's funny.
Well done. Bob Culver, 6786, said, Tim this week, I like my dog, but I'm in love with this trash can.
Yeah.
Took some shots at Max, and I do. Yeah. I get excited.
Oh, I know. Yeah,
I get
man.
Excited about Rubbermaid.
Yeah.
I never know how to say this one. Aim is 55 says, you got a lot of nerve talking about off brands when Randy is not around. We talk about
Oh, yeah, Randy, man. Who's our normal producer,
yeah.
Is not going to buy brand name stuff.
For anything.
No. I mean, I think
he makes exceptions on toilet paper.
Toilet paper.
I was going to say, that's where I usually carve out an exception there. Yeah.
What's his other one?
There's one other one, and I can't remember
is it
what
Oreos?
It
Oreos?
Paper towels.
Yeah, Oreos, he's a pretty big
I thought paper guy. Towels, he's like a bounty guy or whatever.
You come over.
What about a mattress?
Oh, it's a great.
You
I
do
doubt
need
it.
A good
I doubt
you got him to have a good
I
mattress,
doubt it, buddy.
Right?
I doubt yeah, he's getting a, yeah. His he's getting, it just says mattress on the box.
I did a show years ago. It was a club in Auburn, Alabama called Crown of Comedy. And it was right next to a store called Lee County Discount Beds.
Oh, wow.
And I think it was like, repurposed beds from the hospital or prison.
Oh, no.
And
wow.
Man.
There's a plasma donation store right next to
it. All right.
It's just a one-stop shop.
Yeah,
just, for me. I spent the day there.
Yeah,
there's
did.
Stuff. Yeah.
Let's make a Thursday out of it, boys.
Don't buy those beds, guys. And I don't want to take a shot at any business that's trying to make a go of it, but I
shout out to Lee County Discount Beds.
Yeah.
I like what they're doing.
Yeah, maybe they switched up their business model since If you do come to St. Louis, and we hope you do someday, mm-hmm. And you come into our studio and do an episode,
yeah.
Randy will be happy to get you a Sam's Club water.
Oh, wow,
yeah.
And, I grew up on Diet Dr. Thunder, dude. I know about all this.
Real good.
Yeah, you and Randy are going to get along well.
SW Darby said, I can't believe in the sidebar about regional chips, Greg brought up Old Dutch, but not Old Vienna of St. Louis. Discovered the Red Hot Riblets at Aldi and they are already a top-tier chip. We stopped in St. Louis driving through recently just to get more of their varieties that Aldi doesn't carry.
People yeah, Red Hot Riblets, Old Vienna.
Huge.
It's great, but I'm a Old Dutch crunch guy.
Yeah.
Are they related to Vienna sausages or Vienna fingers?
I don't
totally
think so.
Different thing.
No.
Vienna finger, underrated cookie.
I agree.
Is that a vanilla cookie, sure vanilla sandwich cookie? Is that what that is?
Yeah, but it looks, I mean, it's long and
oblong.
Cylindrical, yeah. Oblong.
Yeah.
You know all the industry terms.
That's a good cookie. That's
it
a
is
very
solid
good cookie.
Cookie yeah. Dude.
A vanilla good, sandwich cookie all the way texture. Around is a good cookie.
Golden Oreo is up there too. Top
yeah, now I would say a
looks like you're biting your tongue.
No, dude, I'm this is the first I'm on like hour 40 of like literally no sugar. Even fruit, like I'm trying to lose weight.
So
I've been eating like just a high protein, but then I'd have like an apple at the end of the night, just something. And last night was my first night with like half a Slim Jim and curtains, lights out.
Yeah.
And I just did it. So now we're talking about, I get all excited. I start sweating. it's really a mess.
Aaron, have you tried a Post Malone Oreo yet?
No.
Unbelievable.
They're good.
Unbelievable.
Yeah.
It's it's a little bit of like salted caramel. It's kind of its own thing, but it really,
okay.
I love Oreos. I don't go for the novelty stuff, but those Post Malone ones, they really
they're very good.
Special.
Although I would probably say I'd rather have
just a straight up
a double stuff Oreo.
Yeah. Have you had the Oreo flavored Coke?
No.
Didn't care for it.
It wasn't, I didn't care for it either. I'm not going to buy it again, but it wasn't as bad as I thought it would
be. Okay.
It's a little bit of an Oreo aftertaste. It doesn't hit you right when you take a sip.
Did you do the Coke flavored Oreo?
No, I didn't know
yeah.
they went.
Oh, yeah,
well,
yeah.
Also
yeah.
not great. Yeah,
I
they
didn't know
both.
It was reciprocal.
Yeah, it was.
Yeah, yeah.
I made a deal. Lawyers.
Partner.
Yeah. They're like, let's leave the lawyers out of this. You make a thing. We'll make a thing.
Home and home. Yeah,
yeah exactly.
Yeah, I'd like to see how that deal went down.
Yeah.
We'd like to do an Oreo flavored Coke. Well,
yeah.
We'll do it on one condition.
Did you have any big, maybe goal, like things for Jif that you would have loved to have done a partnership? you know, maybe team up with, you know.
No, man. Yeah, you don't. I'm a purist. I've said that all along.
Yeah, I partnered with Nestle, do a little chocolate and peanut butter.
We did. There is a chocolate chip out right now. We didn't need Nestle. And we did do. Yeah, we did.
Yeah, it's very sensitive.
One of the biggest companies on earth. My bad.
It's not you.
We talked about Jif Sensations.
Okay.
When I was there, it was a product that we sampled. Still don't know why it didn't go. And they had, we had a Jif Sensations. It was a chocolate flavored Jif.
Right.
And it was, you know, unbranded. We didn't partner with anybody.
Okay.
One of the greatest things I've ever eaten. Wow. It's fantastic. Wow. And then there was a cinnamon, I think, version, a raspberry.
Yeah.
So good. It's like those Fisher Favorites, the candied nuts. I don't know why it didn't go.
All right. Yeah. That's a Fisher Favorites, not a good name. I guess David's is just a guy's name, too.
Yeah. David's, yeah. Did a show the other night and was asking where people went to college, and one guy went to Wayne State.
I did a show at Wayne State.
Just a guy's,
it's
just
Detroit,
a guy's name.
Yeah, yeah. Wayne State.
I did
with Ludo.
Guy sitting around, yeah. Like, I'll tell you what I'm gonna do. I'm gonna start my own college.
Wayne.
No, you're not Wayne.
You didn't
not.
You barely finished high school, Wayne. You're not gonna start
gonna do
a college.
It. I'm gonna do it. We'll see.
Who's gonna teach?
I'm gonna teach.
I do all the classes.
I'm gonna do all of them. I'll show you. Somebody's looking at their kids, you know, recruitment letters, and they're, I'll be. Wayne actually did. Let me see that.
A couple more comments regarding our specials coming out on Nateland the Showcase Season 3, Sean O'Brien and mine both coming out. Maxima Goodness, because we talked about him this episode, was happy to hear that. She said, great news this week, folks. For the last 25 to 30 weeks, it took me about 10 episodes for me to become a real fan. I've been really interested to see Tim and Sean stand up, but can't seem to find any online. I can't wait to see if their stand up is anything like I'm guessing it's going to be. Greg, as the father figure here, how would you describe their stand up?
Oh, boy.
Wow.
I mean, they're very different acts than each other. And I think you're going to love it. I can't even describe my own stand up. That's probably a problem of it. What I would tell you is I think these guys have been working on their craft for a while. You know, you heard Aaron say he was there and they did well. Mm-hmm. I saw a little bit of tape on it. It looked really, really cool.
Yeah.
And there's some, you know, some of my favorite jokes in there. And Tim's doing something now with music that I think in 10 years from now, you're going to be like, I remember when I saw that first thing him and his drummer did. And it's just, I can tell there's like something really cool there. The song they did is really good, but they're just like, it's something that's going to be very interesting. Yeah.
Wow.
Thanks, man.
Yeah. Yeah.
Sean's opening joke is one of my favorite opening jokes out there right now.
Oh, thanks, Greg. Yeah, oh, that's nice of you, man. Yeah, yeah, yeah. No, we're excited, man. It should be fun. So.
Give it up for the troops.
Great to be here.
I know. It's crowd work. It's like, where do you work? And then I just get into some bit about a guy who's a lawyer. And it's pretty sweet, guys.
Yeah.
Pretty sweet. Right. It was a plant, but nonetheless, it works.
Jay Schneider says, I never knew Greg was in consideration for a rotation/role at Walmart with P&G. As a past recruiter for Frito-Lay, right, PepsiCo for 15 plus years, I can tell you that you always try to put your strongest team on the Walmart account.
Really?
Long way for me to say that this was a big gig that Greg turned down. Wow. This guy's very, very impressed.
He turned it down for comedy. It would interfere with comedy?
No, I mean, I was working at Procter & Gamble, and this guy, Tim, who led the team, the food beverage part of the team, was like, hey man, I'm like, we had this big meeting and I did a presentation, and he called my boss and was like, hey, I want those guys to come on the Walmart team. Would they be interested in coming down and working? And that's kind of where you had to go down to Fayetteville and be part of a giant team of people that called on Walmart.
Yeah.
And that's, you know, when you started moving way up. And I said, hey man, I don't want to do that, 'cause I think I'm probably going to wind up doing comedy here.
Wow. Pretty soon.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, I said,
well, what a mistake, huh?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean,
that's Walmart money.
Yeah. You've been talking to my dad?
Wow. That's wild, dude.
Yeah. That's it. That's it for your comments.
Awesome. Aaron, is there anything that you would like to plug?
I just announced a bunch of dates. I'm going to be pretty busy the rest of the year. Lowell, Arkansas.
Bill.
Oh boy.
Speaking of Walmart.
Bill.
Gonna be out there August, and then Phoenix, Denver, Huntsville, Buffalo, Syracuse.
Nice, Buffalo. There
Albany,
you go.
Albany, Cincinnati, Milwaukee, Grand Rapids, Appleton. I'm going all over. So
that's awesome.
AaronWeberComedy.com is my MySpace page. Go check it out.
Go see it. Go see this guy, man. Live. Very, very funny.
We're
very
all
funny.
Comics. You know?
Yeah. I thought something was coming after that.
I thought it was a beat, and then boom.
We started stressing that on Nate Land because people would be like, oh, I went to the show, and it's they're doing stand-up.
Yeah, you're like, I'm
not Nate's butler. Right? Like, I'm a stand-up comedian.
Wait, because they thought it was going to be a podcast?
I don't know what they thought. Yeah. I thought, Dusty, it's become a running joke on Nate Land that Dusty's like, we are professional comedians.
Yeah. It is true. Like,
we're doing our own thing.
Because when we do this, we're pretty loose. And it's like, if you show up to one of our shows, you're going to see some stuff that we put some thought into. And there's a rhythm to it.
Right.
And
I will read comments at the end. But
Yeah, of course. Tim reads comments at the end about the show, show that you're actually doing. He's like, he ain't funny.
You know, clubs don't do comment cards much anymore, but was that a big thing for a long? Yeah.
Jake Johansson, one of my favorite comics, and the guy that I think influenced me and some of the
Did
way
Letterman
I delivered.
Letterman 48 times?
Yeah, jeez. Insane amount.
Yeah, it was nuts. It was something, right.
It's crazy. Jake, and he was like the coolest guy to work with when you were starting out. He was just, he made everybody feel like they were part of it. Jake caught me reading comment cards one time. I was like, what are you doing, man? You don't want to read those. Right. Do not read those comment cards.
Yeah. Do you remember bad ones?
Oh, yeah, man. I still got that guy's address.
Still got the card.
That's right. See you in a month.
We have been the consumers. You have been consumed.
We're all comics.
Oh, I like that.
One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at Kosai.
Leagues Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning Leagues Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and Leon starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. Leagues Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
Cleveland is where the urban meets the outdoors, where cultural celebrations meet rabid sports fans meet the symphony, where nobody goes hungry and everybody loves music. Fueled by passion, we are the land for life. From rich history to hidden gems, the Legends of the Land podcast shares the real stories from real Clevelanders that shape the city. From iconic chefs to grassroots changemakers, sports heroes to creative visionaries, learn why living all out is in Cleveland's DNA. Go to thisisCLE.com/podcast.